Hey, Sarasota, it's Bob. So it's been a wonderful grind over the past 18 months. We've had some fabulous guests. We've produced over 150 episodes, and we've had over 10,000 listens from you wonderful folks in the greater Sarasota area. It's been a lot of fun, but also it's been a lot of work. And so we've decided to take a little bit of a break until this fall. When you check out other podcasts, you're going to see that most put out a new episode only once a week. We put out two, so of course that means there's twice the work. A lot of show notes, scheduling, guests, editing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we've decided to take a little break for the rest of the summer, and we will resume this fall. And we'll let you know. But before I sign off, can you do me a little favor? Reach out to us via Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Drop us a little note. I'd like to know more about what you want to hear when we resume in the next couple of weeks. That'd be a big help because without you, dear listener, we would not exist. As always, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful summer, and we'll be back soon where you can listen, learn, and connect. Good morning, Sarasota. This is the Sarasota Stories Podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Bob. I just wanted to take a quick moment and first off, thank our regular listeners for checking in with us. I hope everybody's okay. Obviously, we really got hammered by this storm, primarily south of the greater Sarasota area, starting in Venice and then all the way down to Naples. And so I just wanted to encourage everyone, is there just one thing that you can do to help in the relief efforts? Bottled water, some canned goods, some dry goods, some clothing. I'm going to give you some organizations that you can reach out to and find out specifically what it is that they need where you can help in this relief effort. The first organization is the Community Foundation of Sarasota County. They can be reached at 941-955-3000. They're also located over there on Fruitvale Road at 2635 Fruitvale Road in Sarasota, Florida. Call them and see specifically what it is that they need and how they are working to help all these folks that really got hammered by the hurricane. Next organization is Gulf Coast Community Foundation. Their headquarters are in Venice, 941-486-4600. If they're not open because they did get a lot of flooding down there, let's try the Sarasota location again for Gulf Coast Community Foundation, 941-777-1270. Call them and see what they need. Obviously, the Salvation Army is always looking for donations and help in situations such as this. They actually have three locations. Sarasota is 941-364-5557. They're over there on Tuttle Avenue. The Venice location, and again, Venice has some flooding down there. I don't know if they're open. 941-484-6227. Northport really got hammered again with flooding. I don't know if they're open, but I'll give you their phone number anyways. 941-240-5108. The Salvation Army is always very helpful in situations like this. Obviously, the American Red Cross, the Sarasota County office can be found at 941-379-9300. And I know that everybody has a heck of a lot more on their mind right now than simply listening to podcasts, but we are going to do our best to maintain our regular release of our episodes. We could not air last week. We didn't have any internet, so I hope you'll forgive us for that. But I think we're going to be back on task going forward, assuming that we don't have any interruptions in service. And today we have a great show lined up for you, and we just encourage you to continue to listen in. If we feel a need to update you on what's going on, we'll just continue to put these little blurbs in here before the episodes. If there's anything you would like for us to do, please reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, and we'll do our best, again, to help in this relief effort. Again, thank you so very much for being a part of our listening audience, and on to today's show. Let's face it, we're all sending messages about ourselves when we go out in public. Of course, we're also constantly developing opinions and making decisions about others from what they say, how they carry themselves, and of course, what they wear. More specifically, what if you're a woman who recently started a business, became an executive, or simply wants to upgrade your image to send a more confident and professional image to the world? My guest today is a seasoned branding and styling professional from the New York fashion industry who helps women do just this. Hello again, I'm Bob Williams, your host of the Sarasota Stories podcast, where you'll hear from some of the most interesting people living in this wonderful town we call home. I started this podcast because not only did I want to meet new people, but I also wanted to share their stories with you. I also believe to better know the community you live in, it's a must to hear each other's stories so we can connect just a little bit deeper and appreciate how blessed we are to live here. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you'll hear from artists and authors, entrepreneurs, civic leaders, business owners, and philanthropists share who they are, how they got into their line of work, and what they're excited about right now. I'm very pleased to welcome Sandy Happenew, owner of Styling Sessions, LLC. In this episode, you'll learn one thing most people don't know about Sandy, how she got into the New York City fashion scene at Saks Fifth Avenue, Bloomingdale's, and Neiman Marcus, how she works with women going through either professional or personal life transitions to improve their brand and public image, why you might want to contact Sandy, and much, much more. Thank you so much for stopping by today. It is my hope that you will listen, that you will learn, but most importantly, connect. Sandy Happenew, owner of Styling Session and sandyhappenew.com, who is a personal branding and fashion stylist. Welcome to the Sarasota Stories podcast.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. And I have to chuckle a little bit. Having someone like you on my podcast, because I'm not a fashionista, and I don't know if I'm qualified to ask you questions, but we're going to do our best today.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, you have a fascinating background, you know, from New York and working in the fashion industry in Saks Fifth Avenue up there and what you're doing down here. We're going to get into all that because I'm curious about what you do with your clients. But my number one question I always start off with my guests is, what's one thing that most people don't know about Sandy?
I would say the one thing that I probably don't talk about that much is that I am a professor and an award-winning professor at that. I was an adjunct for 7 years.
And your topic was?
Fashion. It was visual merchandising and styling. So I taught people at the college level to be a stylist. And I got a fellowship and became a professor with a community college. And I did win an award for innovation in teaching and a fellowship in outstanding commitment to higher education. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool. And in those classes, was this aspiring stylist or was it, because it's a big industry. So what were the type of students that you had in your class?
Well, this was the fashion department, which was under the business department of the school, and it was a SUNY school.
Yep.
And State University of New York, for those people that don't know that acronym. But the most interesting thing to me is I would ask that as one of my first questions. Why are you here? What do you want to do with your lives? And most people wanted to be stylists. And I think that it's a perception. I think that once you get into it, it's very different, at least for me it was, than what I thought it was going to be.
Interesting. Well, give us some broad strokes then of your background, your formative years, and then why fashion appealed to you and how you got into the industry.
Well, I went to college for merchandising and textiles. I became a buyer after that for department stores. And I stayed home once I had babies. And when they got a little bit older, I wanted to go back to work, but I didn't know if I wanted to go back full time. So a funny little story is that a neighbor of mine had worked for a magazine, much like Sarasota Magazine. It was called Westchester Magazine in New York, which is a suburb of New York. And the shopping editor or the fashion editor was leaving. And I said, oh, that sounds like a fun job. She was complaining about, oh, our fashion editor left. Now I have to shop. And I said, that sounds like a dream job to me. So she says, well, I'll give you the editor's, name and number. And I said, but I'm not a journalist. She said, Sandy, you don't have to be a journalist. You just need to know how to write blurbs.
Right.
I said, well, I'm really good at blurbing. So I had the appointment with her, and she on the phone, she said to me in a very devil meets Prada way, you know, you're going to have very big shoes to fill if you take this position. So I was intimidated, you know, right from the beginning. And so I decided to go in as though I already had the job. And it was a 2-page spread once a month. And I went in with all the things that I would put in her next monthly column. And I laid them on her desk. And I said, this is what my 2 pages would look like. And cool. No one had ever done that. And she just kind of looked at me again in a very Meryl Streep, Devil Wears Prada. And she said, okay, we'll give this a try. And I was there for 10 years.
Oh, so, cool.
So it was a nice, side gig. And then from there, I built it to being a photo stylist for them. So I would go on the fashion shoots and start to be their fashion stylist. And all these bylines started to get me some notoriety in the area. So people started to know me.
Well, that is fascinating how you got into that. I guess it's not unusual how somebody breaks into the industry, but you actually ended up eventually at Saks Fifth Avenue and kind of rubbed elbows with some high-end stylists out there like Oscar De La Renta. Tell us about, I thought that, now that's right from your website. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. Well, I had started styling session at the time, and I took a break in between because the Fifth Avenue Club, which is like the highest tier of styling for Saks, recruited me online through LinkedIn. And it was very surprising to me. So I gave up my job and I went to work for them for a little while. And I've met many celebrities. And I think the highlight, my rock star, was Oscar De La Renta. And when he was alive, I got to sit in a very intimate setting because it was only a few stylists in the Fifth Avenue Club. And I sat on a little love seat and we were drinking champagne. We were toasting to his new collection. So that was one of my highlights as a stylist.
Well, la-ti-ja. Good for you. So what was he like?
Charming. That's what I would say. He was very charming. He made you feel like you were the only person in the room when he spoke to you. And he was a true artist. I mean, as far as his clothes, a lot of clothes don't show the, in my opinion, quality. I mean, I shop at TJ Maxx and, you know, a lot of the budget stores. Of course, I know what to look for,
right.
But his clothes are art, or were art, I should say, when he was alive.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've often wondered, I mean, I came from, you know, several different industries and whatnot, manufacturing, corporate training, that sort of stuff. And you wonder, you know, how people make it to the very top of an industry. And I'm sure it's just hyper-competitive. You know, when you're talking about the big boys, the big girls out there, where they are looking for major lines that they want to put in the department stores, you know, they want to go to Milan, they want to go to Paris and have their own lines and whatnot. And do you have a perspective? You know, how does a guy like, you know, Tom Ford or Oscar De La Renta, how do they make it?
Right. Well, I think that it's putting yourself out there, you know, and meeting the right people, running in the right circles, networking. I mean, it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's not really, it's how you make someone feel, and then you're remembered later on. You know, with a stylist, it's, oh, yes, you're that stylist. You're that podcast, you know, I need a good podcast. So it's being that one person. And I think that really comes because there's so much noise in the world and so many people doing the same thing. I think it really is all about relationships and growing them and being reliable and kind of staying consistent to what you always do. And I think that, you know, not that I became a celebrity, but I think that I had a very good reputation,
right.
And I was very consistent in my work. And if a job needed to get done, they knew to call me because it would get done, you know.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, then I became a stylist for, I left Saks. As great as it was, I lived in the suburbs. So it was, yes, it was a bit of a hike for me. There were a lot of events. And Bloomingdale's was one of my corporate clients with styling session.
Right.
And so Bloomingdale's said to me, the one in West, although I worked with all the Bloomingdale's, the one in Westchester called me to do a fashion show for them. And they said, I said, I can, I'm working for Saks. And they said, what are you doing in New York? You're a Westchester girl. And
I love that tribalism.
So they created a position for me, actually, in the Westchester store as a personal stylist for them, which is nice because I had a business within a business. And I stayed there for about 4 years. So they created it, they already had someone there, but they created another office. And when I had to see the higher ups in Bloomingdale's to get that position, and their actual words were to me were, how did you get in front of me again? You know, like, how did you get here?
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure. I think the answer to it really is that everything happened organically for me.
Right.
You know?
Well, look, it's the eternal verities. I mean, hard work and loyalty and it transitions across industries. So it's the same in the fashion industry as it is in so many others. Well, that is an interesting background. And so this was all in the New York area, and you came down here a little over a year ago, and you've gotten yourself established here in the greater Sarasota area. And so I want to talk about what you do and how you do it. And this is at sandyhappenew.com, and we'll spell that out for everybody toward the end of the into the episode here and put it in the show notes. They know where to find you. But so you work with women in personal branding and fashion stylists. Tell us about the process that you would go through with someone who contacts you and say, Sandy, I'm not really sure how to put this all together. I'm now a department manager. I'm an executive. I own my own business. Can you help me?
Right. Well, I would say that the first thing is that most people that do come to me are going through some kind of transition, or they just hate to shop. It could be one or the other. But they're changing their life, whether it be moving to a new state, moving to a new job. Perhaps they had children and now they want to go back to work, or they lost a lot of weight, or something that was major in their life that they just want a new beginning. And so basically I start with speaking with them about what would make them over the top happy. Like, I want to know what their end result would look like, because right, it's different to everyone. It's personal style. That's where the personal comes into the personal styling. I even think of it more as a wardrobe strategist. And so what do you want to look like? What story do you want to tell with your clothes? Because sometimes you're online, you're on LinkedIn, on a Zoom call, at a networking event, and sometimes you're not saying much. They say that you only have one time to make a first impression, and usually people make that, I don't know, in 60 seconds. So I think that clothes are really important, not only for the person that's looking at you, but for how you're going to project yourself, because your clothes could possibly give you confidence. It could make you maybe feel the opposite, not give you confidence. Maybe you're looking at other people and you're saying, oh, she looks great, or he looks sharp.
Right.
So there's lots of psychology involved in it. And so we start, the first thing that I do is have a very in-depth conversation about your values, where you want to go with this look, and how do you want to feel. And then I try to over deliver at the end,
sure,
all that.
Of course. It's fast. I'm thinking as you're talking, I recently had actually an episode 69, which was on Tuesday. I had a fella on, his name's Adam Petrilli, and he's a founder of NetReputation.com. But anyways, I bring him up because what he does is he helps companies that have, maybe they have a bad reputation on the internet, or maybe some politician or some executives got themselves in trouble. And so what they do is they go online to correct that reputation and kind of that image. And you're kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum there and trying to lead somebody through a process of saying, okay, well, you know, you want a reputation, you want an image that you want to project here, and you work with them to go through that so that they get what they want.
Right. You know, I think it's important, you know, to leave a good impression so that it's more what are people saying about you when you leave the room,
yeah,
you know? Are they saying, wow, that person really impressed me?
Yes.
Or that person really doesn't look like they have it together, you know? So I think that's important, because I know this firsthand. I've met doctors, lawyers, like all these really high-end professionals that were brilliant, but they weren't displaying that.
Of course.
I learned this through, I went on a, like a mentorship, an entrepreneur incubator actually. And I went there thinking that I was going to start online courses on styling. And when they put me in the hot seat, what I realized that all the people in the audience wanted to be styled by me. And as I got to know them, the reason that they weren't doing well is because they had really kind of given up or never taken an interest in their personal thing because they were so into their work, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
This is fascinating, because as a corporate trainer, I used to teach a course on how to conduct effective meetings. And you have an agenda, you have objectives, you have a beginning time, an ending time, and whatnot. And, you know, the biggest corporations in the world judge people upon how they run a meeting, and they also judge on how you look too.
Right.
So I could really see that. That's really fascinating. Well, tell us about some of the, I guess, sessions that you offer. You have a signature styling session. You know, talk about kind of the different packages that you offer, because you have the sandal package, the Oxford package, the pump package, and the stiletto package. Oh, I like the stiletto package for my wife. But talk about the different packages that you offer.
Right. Well, you know, right now, because I'm just starting up, what happened was in New York, everything shut down with COVID. I not only was doing the personal styling, but I had a corporate division as well, which was doing the corporate fashion shows, working for brands, and going into corporations, like you're saying, with human resources and talking about how professional presence. Sometimes we would do photo shoots for their CEOs, for different types of magazines and things like that. And I forgot your question. What was your question?
No, I mean, just like the different packages that you
offer. Oh, the packages.
Because,
right now I'm only offering two different packages until I get to know my customer better, because I'm starting to have a whole new set of people. New York and Florida,
there's only a little bit of difference between those two places. Only a little.
Well, the weather is the main thing, I would say. Like right now, I have a customer that she says, I want to look professional, but I don't want to sweat, you know, like, you know, with the heavier clothing and the suits, I want to find the right things. But then if I wear a light dress, I have to be careful that the wind doesn't blow it. She wants to stay professional, but she wants to find the right fabrics and also the right style for her body. So right now I'm offering two packages. One is basically a closet edit. I've been called the closet whisperer. and I can go in and a lot of people hang on to things for way too long. And like anything else in your life, when you hold on to something that's not serving you, you're not making room for better things. I'm not a big advocate of buying until I know what you have, because I want to work with what you have. Let's find your favorite things, your repeat pieces, you know, and why do you go to them? So we all, you know, I start with everyone there after the conversation that we have to know where she wants to go with this or he. And then from there, we go shopping. And then the third portion of it, which would be the biggest package, would be to have like, I would say, some people call like a fashion Bible, where they can look at it. So you're I'm basically teaching you. That's why it's called styling session. Sure. I'm basically teaching you how to do it on your own. So you won't have to keep calling me with this package. You'll have on there, you know, what to wear for your body type, what not to wear for your body type, what you should be spending money on, because there are some things that maybe you should, and then other things that you shouldn't. Like I'm a big advocate for what I call a cost per wear. So if you're going to wear something constantly, you know, you should spend a little bit more money on that. Because the way I see it is if you spend $100 on something and you wear it once, it costs you $100. But if you spend $100 and you wear it 10 times, it costs you $10 a wear, you know, so cost per wear. So,
yeah, it's funny. It's funny. I mean, I'm not kidding. 72 hours ago, my wife, we've been married 39 years. She goes, you know, I think I'm going to get rid of my wedding dress. So that was a one-time wear. Mm-hmm. And she's had it for 39 years. I guess she's going to, I don't know, give it to the kids or sell it or something like that. I haven't seen her in it since. So, right. So that makes a lot of sense though. I mean, you have to consider how much you're going to wear the item and the investment you're going to make in it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So you touched upon a couple of different things, like what not to wear. And as I said up front, I'm by no means a fashionista. Right now we're talking virtually and I have a Vineyard Vine golf shirt on and a pair of khakis. So I'm definitely not a fashionista, but, program that I got the biggest kick out of, and it was aired 2013. A guy by the name of Stacy London was on a program called What Not to Wear, and I always got and so that would be you. What do you call it? The closet queen,
The closet whisperer.
The closet whisperer. And I got the biggest kick out of that program because they obviously go in and they clean out the closet, and I got the biggest kick out of the characters on there. But to me, what I saw in that program, what I think you're touching upon is, you know, how do you sometimes deal with identity? Somebody has a self-perception of what they want, and, you know, maybe they're 10 years behind times or 20 years behind times because that's what they grew up with. That's what they knew. And now they're moving and transitioning into life, and they know they want to do something different. How do you kind of get them to let go of maybe that identity or self-perception that they shouldn't have anymore?
Right. Well, this is an interesting question because there's one part of it where they have to be really ready. And one of the first questions I'll ask is, do you want me to be very straightforward with you? And you know, tell you, because I want to meet people where they are.
Great point.
So if they are really attached and they really are kind of hesitant, and I can usually tell by body language, I'll say to them, why don't we put these things in a box? And if you don't look at them for 6 months or a year,
great
then at
point.
That point, why don't you get rid of it?
That's a great technique.
But then there's
technique.
Other people that are paying the money and they want to, you know, change. They want to, they like, no, tell me if it's terrible, tell me. And then I can also substantiate it by saying that this is what you told me. And this is not, you know, because I ask so many questions, it's not even funny. And that's where all the personalization comes in.
Right.
And so I really, really get to know that person, maybe even better than they know themselves, because I'll say something back to them that they said to me. And, you know, I see them nodding. I said, but you said this to me. So it is a collaboration. I don't try to change anybody. If anything, yep. I want to make them to be the best version of themselves and the things that they like.
But let me press you a little bit on this, if I may.
Sure.
Certainly you've had a client that says they think they look good in X or this particular color, and everybody has their color spectrum from my knowledge. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, some people are not going to look good in orange. Others aren't going to look good in fuchsia or whatever it is. And you see that on somebody who's locked into it. I mean, is that where you come out and you say, look, you know, Lisa, this is just not your color. Mm-hmm. And do you have to kind of walk them through that? I'm just curious about that.
Well, I've never had to do it with a color. I guess,
and I don't mean to kind of dominate here. Like, for example, over the years, I have sat on many benches inside of Chico's, Talbot's, and other stores that my wife was into at the time. And Chico's was back when she was like in her 20s, maybe teens and whatnot. Then we went through her like a preppy phase, which is more like Talbot's. And now she's very much into J. McLaughlin, which was a store that I don't know if they're nationwide or what, but they're here locally. So you kind of move through phases. And I'm just saying, you know, is there a time where women, they just hang on stuff too long? You just say, listen, I'm a professional. I've worked on New York, and this is just not really yours.
I guess I do. I always try to bring in the science of it, like their body types. You had mentioned Stacey London, and I worked with her for a short time. I actually learned under her. And the biggest thing that she taught me was about body types. And so if someone has been wearing things, if they're going into their closet and they're staring aimlessly at their closet and they don't know what to wear and it's filled, they don't have the right things in there. They need to move it out. And a perfect, I'll say an example. I saw a picture of someone the other day. She's a neighbor of mine. I won't, you know, go into details, but, right. You know, she just wasn't, wearing the right proportions for her body. So she was bigger on top, but yet she had ruffles and patterns. And so kind of making her top even bigger. And she has very, very, very thin legs. And she had very skinny peg leg pants. Hmm. So for me, right away as a professional, I could see that was not balanced. You know, yep. She was making the top bigger and the bottom smaller, which should have been the opposite. Hmm. So sometimes if I just show them, why don't you try the black top on top? And maybe on the bottom, we'll do like a wide leg pant or something like that, you know, and I show them and they try it on, they could see for themselves that it looks better.
Yes.
As far as a color, you know, I was with someone yesterday and I said to them, what's your favorite color? And she says, well, I don't really know. And she said, I guess I wear a lot of, you know, blue, a lot of blues. And I said, is that because you're in Florida or is that because you really like blues? You know, like what is that? So what we did is we took different colors and we just stood in front of the mirror and we put different colors in front of her face. And there were certain colors that just brought out her skin tone, brought out her eyes. And that's the very simple, you know, way to look at colors.
It's interesting you say that. And I grew up in a small farming community. And I love telling the story about my mother. She really came from a working class background. I mean, she's pure Appalachian. And then we're talking about she's born in 32. So she met my father in the late 40s, early 50s. But she always aspired to the things that you're talking about. She didn't have any exposure to that, but she taught herself over the years and whatnot. She just had this innate ability to look at clothing or furniture or even some of her and know whether it's quality or not. She had several friends exactly like what you were talking about. And she would say, yeah, good friend, my name is Mary. She says, I always dress Mary because Mary doesn't know how to dress herself. And by golly, she could do it. And my mother, she could get away with gaudiness. She had long fingers and was a tall woman and she wore stuff that would just look atrocious on most women, but somehow she would pull it off. So it's interesting. I mean, you know, you're professionally trained and have been in this industry for a long time, but some people just have a knack for that. And I think that's a cool skill to have.
Yeah. I mean, I call that style.
Yeah.
You know, because that is someone's style. Anybody can buy fashion, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Style,
that's a great
you're
point.
Kind of
great
born
point.
With, and you know, you just innately know how to put things together, you know.
Yeah, right. And it's just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you have any class, right?
Right,
that old
right,
saying.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, you offer some other services as well. You like to speak, so you like to do professional speaking. You also do fashion shows and you also do photo shoots. So share with us some of those things.
Right. So right now actually I'm doing a fashion show. I'm going to be doing a fashion show in December. I think it's December 6th for Neuro Challenge at the Van Wezel. And so that will be fun. It's going to, all the profits will be going right to the foundation. And I'm going to be hosting and styling the show with local vendors.
Very nice.
So that will be good. But I've hosted all types of shows. I've hosted for Neiman Marcus, for Bloomingdale's, for Saks, for different brands. In the malls themselves, like Center Court and different malls. I have had a lot of malls as customers, and that's why it was somewhat easy to get into the UTC here, because I saw that I had experience with other
malls. Yeah, tell us about that. So you're working with UTC. What is that?
So right now, actually, I'm working with them. They have a page on their website with me on it. They gave 10 winners. They just picked them last week, $100, and also a styling session with me. So that was great for me, because since I'm new to the area, I'm getting to know people and getting to know their needs. And so I'm meeting all different types of people. And and it was nice to be a prize. I've never, other than my husband's prize, I don't think I've been a prize before. So that was fun. And to my surprise, they did this beautiful webpage. And basically what I do is I meet them there. It's very difficult to do it in an hour, but I do the best that I can, and had very different experiences. So far, I did two people, and one was a mother of four. And so she said she didn't, you know, like really hasn't paid any attention to herself, and that she just felt it was time. And the other woman knew exactly what her style is, but she wanted to elevate it a little bit. So I found out what they wanted from the beginning, and then we set out walking around to do that.
Well, Sandy, that is going to be really interesting to see. Actually, I'll just finish up with my question. Where do you want to take your business over the next 3 to 5 years at sandyhappenew.com?
Well, I think I'd like to work more one-on-one, but I'm not sure. I've always worked everything out, I guess, organically, like just letting it happen, letting the opportunities come my way. I do like, I get the biggest satisfaction seeing transformations when I work one-on-one with people. So I think I'd like to do that, but I'm open to all different types of things. I love working, you know, with the malls and with nonprofits and, you know, giving back to the community and just getting to know people. So I'm really open to whatever comes my way.
Well, it's worked for you so far, so I'm sure you got great things ahead of you. Sandy, I appreciate you being on the show. And just if people want to reach out to you, where can they go?
They can go to sandyhappenew.com. Should I spell that out?
Well, you definitely need to spell that last name out.
Okay. It's Sandy Happenew, HAPOIENU.com. Or they can go to my Instagram, which is sandy_happenew.com.
That's great. Well, I have learned a lot in the brief time that we've been together. I find it fascinating what you do, and I wish you all the success going forward. Everybody, I appreciate you listening into this show, and we're expecting big things from you, Sandy.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. Bye-bye, everyone.
My pleasure. Bye.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I sure hope you enjoy listening to our interviews as much as we do providing them. If so, would you do me a little favor? Go to sarasotastories.co and enter in your email. That way you'll get notifications of all upcoming episodes. Also, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And remember, no matter where you go, to listen, learn, and connect.